It's a very good afternoon. Now, earlier on, of course, we spoke to Michael Walsh. You'll see that on our previous podcast. If you look it up, we talked about Donald Trump's attempted assassination over the weekend. Michael, of course, an author, and talked much about how the media are handling this whole debacle over the weekend. But many people have raised this question in relation to Thomas Matthew Crooks and how he managed to climb up onto a building with the, you know, the Secret Service around, the FBI around, the local police and sheriff around. How did this 20-year-old lunatic manage to climb up on a building 150 yards from a presidential candidate and former president, because he's kind of known as still as President Trump, standing on a stage only 150 yards and pop off five shots, barely missing him? How did he manage to do it? And like Elon Musk says, should the head of the Secret Service resign because of that? Well, talk to me a little bit more about it. My good friend from the United Kingdom, Will Geddes, is also an international security specialist and analyst for the press and media. Will, good afternoon to you. How are you?
It's always a pleasure to be invited on your show. Thank you very much. And it's always good to see you.
Well, some nice sunshine in London, by the way, in the background there. It looks like sunshine. Maybe a little bit of rain. I don't know. Anyway,
Will, a big rain.
Will, I mean, you're an expert in the field of security. And now, they had been calling recently, by the way, to reduce the security on Donald Trump. Of course, now they probably be thinking differently about it. But in relation to how this happened, they said it was outside their perimeter. Do you buy that?
No, I don't buy it at all. No, it's a complete mess. The whole thing was a shambolic mess from start to finish. I've looked, as you know, after a number of sort of high net worth, ultra high net worth, and former heads of state, and looked after their protection, their safety, whether it be them going to a rally like this, or whether it be general public appearances, that sort of thing. There is always, in any good security plan, Niall, a enormous, or should be, enormous amount of advanced planning. And this advanced reconnaissance and planning looks at every conceivable chance and opportunity that could be exploited by someone who wishes malintent. And as you've very rightly said, and as many of the viewers will know, certainly from the extensive coverage since that assassination attempt, this rally was pretty straightforward. And the would-be assassin was only 150 meters away from Donald Trump, and was within direct line of sight. Now, there was the United Secret Service, who put themselves on a pedestal as supposedly, you know, the best of the best in terms of presidential security. And I've worked with the US Secret Service before, and I have a few friends in them, you know, within their ranks now. But this was an absolute shambolic mess. From the moment the first shot rang out, right through to the moment that he was eventually, and I do mean eventually, put in a vehicle.
You did hear the audio on the microphones was still on when those first four or five shots rang out, put his hand up to his ear, dropped to the ground. You saw the Secret Service, of course, who were a little bit slow, by the way, to get to the stage, I'm going to be honest with you, go up and they kind of surrounded him and got on top of him and everything. But you could hear their audio. You could hear them talking. And at one stage, you heard, shooters down, shooters down, right? So obviously, you know, they got a message in the rear to say, it's okay, you know, we've eliminated the threat. It's okay to let him back up. Is that the way it works? Do they wait till they eliminate the threat, or should they have got him off the stage quicker?
They did. The first thing that happened was, obviously, the shot started ringing out. Donald Trump's ear got clipped, and he was very lucky.
Oh, did you see that video? Because if you watch it in slow motion, he literally moved his head just as the shot was fired. If he hadn't moved his head at that point, the bullet was through his skull.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was one fatality, someone who was shot.
Of course.
Obviously, this rain of bullets, and another person
critically
killed,
ill.
And someone who was critically injured. So, you know, this wasn't some pantomime attempt by the Trump camp. And I've seen all the conspiracy theories.
Look, when I seen some of the people put up staged, I went, are you mad? You know, we've just watched it live on telly. Yeah.
Getting
back to the question. Yeah. Should they got him off the stage quicker?
Okay. So when an incident happens, whether it be someone shooting, whether it be someone throwing something, whether it be a stabbing, whatever it might be, the most important first response, the actions on, if you want, or immediate actions, is to take the principal off what we call the X. X meaning X marks the spot. And you take them off that position. Now, the shooter may have been taken down. There may have been communications that shooter was taken down. Does that mean that the threat has completely diminished? No, it doesn't. You cannot discount there aren't more threats amongst the audience. There are other collaborators or colluders, other snipers, someone with an IED. There could be so many different additional factors now. So you get your principal away as quickly as possible. You don't allow him to rise again, from his prone position up, punching the air. And particularly, I mean, again, this was another part of the catalogue of errors now, was there were some female Secret Service agents. I've worked with some amazing female operators. These were not them. These were half the size of him. They provided no human shield
I noticed
whatsoever
that,
of
yes.
protection.
Yeah, they were too small. They're too small.
Some of them were, there was one particular female agent, as you may have seen, trying to reholster her Glock and couldn't do it. Which shows to be someone who has not trained and rehearsed, repeatedly, so that the muscle memory is there, that even when you're under threat, you don't even need to think about it. You are doing and reacting. And, some people have responded and said, well, they're obviously stressed. Well, absolutely. You don't do the job unless it's going to be a stressful situation.
And you put yourself in the line of fire, obviously, as well. But I mean, I assume Secret
Really?
Service agents have Kevlar jackets on them and stuff like that. I'm assuming they do. Do they, if they're putting themselves in the line of fire?
No, not necessarily. I mean, some do, some don't. It depends on the situation and the coverage. Some of them will wear, certainly some body armor to protect them. But ultimately, there may be many that don't. But fundamentally, whether you do or you don't, Niall, your job is to step between the threat and your principal.
And does the principal wear, I mean, does Donald Trump or Joe Biden, or do they wear Kevlar?
Rarely, rarely. I mean,
Wow.
to be honest, that would probably only be if they flew into somewhere like Iraq or Afghanistan or a high-risk environment where inevitably it's a sort of non-permissive environment and the
Okay.
likelihood is increasingly higher.
The other problem, of course, the BBC interviewed a chap outside who said the general public and members of the public noticed this guy climbing up the building with the rifle around his neck or around his shoulder, whatever way he had it attached to him, called the police and the Secret Service and said, look, there's a guy up there climbing up the building. And they didn't do that. And he said, and Donald, this was about 2 or 3 minutes before it actually happened. Donald Trump is talking away at the stage.
And
And they.
there was actually Niall, a police officer who actually went up the ladder onto the roof and was shooed off by the shooter.
All this while Donald Trump was still talking on the stage. So the communication between the local police or the Orange County or wherever it happened to be, the local police, or the, I don't know, there was Secret Service outside as well, and that perimeter part, because it would have been close to the perimeter. The communication obviously was nil.
I mean, when you look at the footage of the counter sniper team on the roof, and the moment the shots rang out, then shooting, it's estimated that there was a good 3 minute period between them identifying the shooter to them ultimately shooting them. And I don't know quite what was going on there, whether they the instruction or the
Yep. Sorry, you're frozen slightly. You're frozen out of us there, Will. Oh, we seem to have lost you. Oh, sorry, we lost you there for a second. Come on. I
I
don't worry.
lost you there for a minute.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'll edit that out later. So
Yeah,
you
go.
say,
Back
so
again.
just go back to where I don't know where the instruction was.
As you may recall, there was obviously the counter sniper team who were on a roof nearby who had supposedly view of the sniper. And there was some 3 minute period or so within which they did not take that shot to neutralize the individual. Now, the reason why I feel positive or somewhat positive that they had sight on this sniper was the adjustment by the sniper who actually let out the shot to neutralize the sniper. He didn't adjust his position. He was already fixed in that singular position, which would say he was already within their scope and already in their sights. So the whole thing really just was a catalogue of
So,
errors
and why
and
didn't
absolutely.
they? When I watched that long shot video, rather than the close up we're all used to seeing, there was a longer shot video where you could see them on the roof behind Donald Trump, the counter snipers. And it looked like to me, while Donald Trump was yapping away to the audience and getting his cheers and everything else, that they could see this guy because they you could see them looking down the scope. And then when the first 3 or 4 shots fired, which I assumed were his. And then you could see the recoil from the gun when they fired. So the second or the last 3 or 4 shots were obviously theirs. because there wasn't really much of a difference in the sound, but you could hear the pause between the two sets of shots. So at the point when they seen him, surely they would go, sniper on the roof, sniper on the roof. And the guys, the Secret Service, would move in, jump on Trump, pull him out of there before even your man got a chance to take out a shot. You would imagine that would be it.
Actually, even earlier than that, Niall, the moment the counter-sniper team spots someone who is pointing in the direction of the principal, who has a firearm, who is not in uniform, who's not someone that can be accounted for, and is pointing directly at the principal, the shot should be taken immediately. There's no doubt. There's
do
no
they
hesitation.
Have to wait? Do they have to wait? Wait for now. I know there's a fake image gone up online from somebody who claims they were the person on the roof who was a counter sniper. I believe it's fake. Saying that they were given the order. They asked for the orders to shoot, and they were told to wait. Now, I don't believe that's true. They're claiming their name is such and such and everything else. That's probably just somebody just putting up some fake stuff, misinformation online. But do they have to wait for permission? So if you're a counter sniper and you see a shooter on the roof, or what you believe is a shooter on the roof, and you can't identify it as anybody else, do you have to wait for the order to take that person out, or do you use your gut instinct and just take them out?
Well, it really depends on the situation, Niall. I mean, if you've got someone who is an immediate threat, then I don't think anybody's going to question, particularly as the sniper had a spotter next to them, that to take that shot to prevent the endangerment or even death of their principal without having the authority or the instruction to progress by their team leader, I don't think would be a massive issue. Yes, in certain circumstances, it may be for verification. In certain circumstances, you may have someone who is playing clothes, someone who is operating within the team, and they may not be aware as to whether they are a friendly or a foe, and that could be questionable. But if the principal is in immediate risk, immediate threat, the shooter takes the shot straight away, no question.
So I suppose what we've learned from this and going forward, the elections are in 4 months' time. There are people who dislike Donald Trump. There are pissed people who dislike Joe Biden. I mean, what's going to happen now? Firstly, do you believe the head of the Secret Service should resign, as suggested by Elon Musk and many others? Do you believe they should resign?
Absolutely, without question. What we saw evidence of was a multi-trillion dollar entity, you know, within the security infrastructure of America that is enabling democracy to take place, that is enabling, obviously, individuals and potential candidates to rally to challenge the presidency, who are now in a position of possible jeopardy. You look at the basics of terrorism. Terrorism is to dissuade, to perverse, to alter, to change, and to influence, obviously, political decisions and political management of a country. This is no different in many regards. Mm-hmm. So the head of the Secret Service, she is personally accountable for this, Niall. We have not seen a formal statement from the US Secret Service since this incident has taken place. We've seen Donald Trump thank them for their support, although I think that was more than generous, but we've seen nothing from them. Mm-hmm. She needs to step down. Kimberly Cheadle needs to sit down. She is, looking at...
She's out of her depth, isn't she, clearly? Yeah. She's out of her depth. She was formerly security for Coca-Cola, I believe, or something like that. So she seems to be completely out of...
She was in the Secret Service before that, Niall, before she went over to Pepsi,
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. The fact is she should have stuck her head out of the parapet straight away and said, there were failings by my teams. We will look into this. We will take whatever measures. I will take responsibility. That's what she's getting paid the big bucks for.
In relation going forward, will they have to double up on security now? Do you believe, or is this just, look, this is some isolated 20-year-old head case kid, who took it upon himself? Do you believe they now have to up the security or up their game?
Absolutely not. I mean, the closer we get to, obviously, the voting day for the presidential election, the more volatile it's going to become. We are in highly volatile times right now. This was one individual. There are many out there. You see certainly some of the social media of individuals that have come forward here that are stating, their comments and their sentiments by saying, what a shame Donald Trump wasn't shot. Mm-hmm. That gives you a bit of a barometer as to the sort of sentiment that is out there against who is Donald Trump, who is perceived to be a very divisive individual. Whether you like him or you don't like him, he's somewhat Marmite in many regards. People like or loathe. And
But
therefore, I think
the
there's going to
divisive
be power in
language, I mean, to be fair, well, the divisive language, I'm not denying Donald Trump uses divisive language, but the language seems to be on both sides, particularly in the United States. When you look at some of the stuff that Democrats have said recently in relation to literally, he needs to be taken out. I mean, the language used even by Joe Biden last week and said, we need to put a bullseye on him. I mean, that this kind of language encourages, I mean, I'm sure they didn't mean it directly or literally, but that language certainly is interpreted by head cases out there to mean something. So the language on both sides needs to be toned down. I know they've said that, and I know Donald Trump has said he's redone his speech for the convention next week and taken the focus off Joe Biden and putting a focus on reuniting a nation, in peace. Anyway, it does look like dangerous times in America, and mind you, somebody did say to me recently, the only way he'll not become president is if they take him out. Thankfully, they didn't. It does look like, by the way, they've made a hero of him now, and they've guaranteed him, just like Teddy Roosevelt, just like President Reagan, they've guaranteed him probably a landslide victory.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to your earlier question now about what sort of coverage he should have moving forward, I think it's almost a shoo-in now. That photograph of him punching the air after he'd been shot at was probably the picture that will be seen iconically as one that will win him this election.
Also a Pulitzer Prize for the photograph too, as I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, but his security is going to have to be upped. Now, the one thing I do know about Donald Trump, certainly in the wake of the intelligence report on him in Russia and his collusion supposedly with Putin, there are aspects here that, he has taken a lot of his intelligence. Even when he was the president, he didn't actually count on the CIA for much of his intelligence. He actually went to the private sector to gather intelligence for him because he could trust them to be unbureaucratic, unpolitically influenced, and they could actually give him what he wanted rather than going to the CIA where information might leak out elsewhere. I wouldn't be that surprised if he brings in a inner cordon of private security to look after him with the support of the United Secret Service, who will be able to do the things which obviously private security are less afforded to be able to do, but he will not necessarily be counting on the United States Secret Service, obviously, for his inner cordon.
Listen, Will, it's been a very interesting conversation. Thank you very much indeed for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Will Geddes, thank you.
Thank you, Niall. Always a pleasure.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.